after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Don't forget, we have Thursday Night Football tonight here on KFKA. This should be a great game between the Giants and the Eagles. Oh, no, they're both pretty bad. But it is like for the division right now, I think. So it'll be interesting. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, Coach Nico Medved, Colorado State men's head basketball coach. And Coach, my producer and I were talking. You're a Vikings fan, so I'm feeling a little sad for you at this point in the NFL season.
Are you really? Or did you just have to bring that up? Like, It is. I've been a lifelong Vikings fan. It's been great. It is just painful. I mean, holy cow. But what do you do? You know, what do you do? It's part of being a fan. We're like the Chicago. Well, we're not anymore. I mean, the Vikings have never won the Super Bowl. I used to say Chicago Cubs of the NFL, but heck, they've won one now. So I don't know.
I feel for you. I thought it was strange with Kirk Cousins coming out. He's like, hey, I'm either going to get better or I'm going to just get so bad I get benched. Either way, I guess he's getting paid either way, Coach. So, you know.
Yeah. They got a long way to get out of the rut they're in right now, I'll tell you that.
No question. Well, hey, at least you get to keep yourself busy and you don't have to think about it too often, getting this team ready to go. And obviously we're getting a lot of fans just wondering when will we get the rest of that schedule? We've got the conference schedule, Coach, but you ready to break some news today? Do we have the rest of that?
Oh, you want to come over and help us with scheduling? It's been to use the word unprecedented, I think that kind of explains obviously everything that's going on this year, but we're still working on it, Brady. Hopefully we're making some strides here, but again, like I've said before, you know, you have all those things kind of just go up in flames with your non-conference schedule and everybody kind of jockeying to figure out obviously the best opportunities to put together a quality schedule, and then quite frankly, just trying to figure out how you can give your guys the best opportunity to play as many games as possible. I think that's a huge deal too. And so I'm confident we're going to play. It's going to be a crazy year that way, but hopefully we're getting close to having some continuity here with a non-conference schedule. I think the one thing I've said before I can report, I mean, we're going to, you know, our plan is to play the Front Range schools. Obviously, we're going to play CU. We're going to play Denver. We're going to play Northern Colorado. So that's a good start.
Yeah, I know fans are really excited about that portion, at least, Coach. But how strange is this? I mean, you're getting practice. You're getting ready for the season, but you don't have that. And again, you've got some ideas as you're working on. But usually, you know, you have that date and you have that team, and that's what you're talking about, getting set for that game. How strange is that?
It's strange, but, you know, the good news is, I mean, we kind of do have a date. And, I mean, our mindset has been, hey, November 25th, we're going to play. We don't know who or where yet, but our job is to be ready then. And, you know, at this time in the year, you know, you have a schedule, but you're still really focused on yourselves, you know, and really trying to get better and improve. And to be honest, this time of the year is my favorite time of the year, where it's, you know, you're really focused on practice, but it's felt like the most normal thing we've done in such a long time is to be in that rhythm of practicing with your guys and doing that. So even though it's been strange in a lot of ways, it's really felt like the most normal time it's been in a long time. So that part's been good.
Yeah, and obviously you don't have to worry about the games just yet as far as the scheduling, but you saw what happened with the football side of things, and that was so strange. Coach Addazio on Monday saying, hey, every day is different. We have no idea what the next day holds. Tuesday, boom, no more game. When you hear that, is that another thing where you're thinking, man, we could be, you know, a couple of days away from a game? Next thing you know, it could be pulled. The rug could be pulled out from underneath us. That's another hurdle. Certainly, you'll have to get through at some point. Maybe.
I mean, 100%. I mean, you almost have to, you know, plan for those things to happen and have yourself mentally prepared to, you know, continue to adjust. But yeah, I mean, you look at what's going on out there. It almost becomes inevitable that will happen. You know, whether it's because of, you know, something with your own team or, like in CSU's case, just, you know, an opponent. And that's difficult. You know, I really, really hurt for those guys. You really work your tail off. You're so excited to finally get an opportunity to play and then, you know, have the plug pulled like that is really tough. But all you can do is move on and you know, prepare. But, you know, I'm sure we'll have to deal with the same thing this year, and so just about every team in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in every level, too. I mean, you're seeing the NFL. They're talking about pushing the Super Bowl back a few weeks so that they can make up some games. So you almost have to count on it, right, Coach? You almost have to say there's a good chance we might play or might not play a handful of those games on the schedule.
Absolutely. I think you almost have to count on that. And I think that the most important thing this year, it's going to be a strange year. You know, teams are going to play different amounts of games, and, you know, we can get all focused on that. But in my opinion, the most important thing is that we keep moving forward and we just try to create as many opportunities for these young men to play as possible. That's what they're here to do. That's healthy for all of us if we can do that in a safe manner and just worry about what we can control. It's going to be a strange year like that. But just to keep moving forward, and even if it's not equitable and different teams are playing different amounts of games and so on and so forth, we just have to accept that that's going to be part of it. But the most important thing is to try to create the best experience we can for these guys, and they want to play and they want to do it, and coaches want to do it, and we believe we can do that in a safe manner with the protocols we have in place. And let's just, no matter what happens, we just got to keep moving forward.
We're talking to Colorado State men's basketball head coach Nico Medved. And Coach, obviously hearing that you know, another year of eligibility is going to be granted, everybody's talking about Colorado State, especially because of the youth and the fact that this group, obviously no Nico Carvacho, but this group last year, I mean, you guys put together a heck of a regular season. So Rams fans hear that news and they're like, wow, this team, we're going to have another year with a lot of these guys. So, I mean, that's there's so many challenges, and I get it. There's even challenges with that. But initially, that's got to be great news for you.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, we haven't really spent much time talking about it or thinking about it. But, yeah, you know, you take a step back and we have no seniors on our roster right now and three juniors. And so, yeah, it in the present it's one thing, but you look down the road and you're like, man, this kind of creates a, you know, kind of a pretty cool set of circumstances. And, you know, one thing that I think is difficult, though, I do really feel for these high school kids, you know, that are going to be in this graduating class and the next graduating class, and they've already really been up against it, right, with not having the opportunity to play and to get seen and to visit campuses. And, you know, with these guys getting another year of eligibility, it's the right thing to do, but it's also really going to affect, in my opinion, opportunities for some of these young guys, you know, that want to come and play at this level. And so there's just a lot of things to sort out with that, you know, in the future. But it's the right thing to do is to give these guys another year of eligibility. And it really kind of takes the pressure off, you know, that way. And for these guys just to move forward, like we said, this year, and just do the best they can to play as many games as possible and have as much success as they can.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too. There's a good and there's a bad side to it, or a rough side for those high school kids, for sure. What do you look at as far as expectations? Now, last year, I remember talking to you before the season started, and, you know, you were excited about this group, but so young, you said it. You're like, yeah, I'm not going to know, really, until we get out and actually play a game what this group's made of. But now, obviously, the word is out on Colorado State, and you guys had a great season. Do you feel any sense of pressure, or is this, with this year being the way it is with COVID, is this just about getting out there, like you said, giving your student athletes a great experience? How do you view this season?
I mean, you know, it's I could say it's just like every other season. It's obviously not. I mean, that would, but I think, you know, you have to approach it daily with your preparation and with the process of what you do, is to just continue to try to get better and grow. And every time you step out on the floor to be prepared and to try to go win the ball game. And, but, you know, we know it's going to be different, but I never worry about pressure. I mean, I've said it before. I mean, if you want to be a great program and you want to be known that way, there are expectations to win and to be good. And obviously none are bigger than the ones that you know, have amongst yourselves. So you want to be in that boat. You want your fans and your alumni and the people to look at and respect your program and expect to be successful. And so I think that's the way you have to look at it. And, you know, from our perspective, I mean, we really believe in what we're doing. We really like our guys. You know, we're, it's kind of unique in that we're really, really young, but we've got a lot of guys coming back who played a lot of minutes. And so I think that really gives us an opportunity to grow and get better. And I think the upside is really good, but you know, it's going to be different this year, but that's what we want. And I really like this group. I think that, you know, we're going to continue to get better, and I think big things are ahead.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you. And another guy, you know, that stormed onto the scene for a lot of fans, is that was Isaiah Stevens. I mean, this guy is so much fun to watch, and man, you got to be pumped up to see this next year, what he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, he's a special young man. You know, he has it all, and he's just a great kid, and is about the right things. Is the ultimate competitor. Has great instincts, great talent, and you know, he plays the point guard position, which is the most difficult position. And like I always tell him, it's always his fault, right? When something doesn't go right, but he wants that. You know, I joke, he wants the smoke. You know, he wants to be that guy, and he is that guy. And so he makes me a better coach. I know that makes me look like a lot of things work better when you have a guy like him on your team. And again, because he's such a great person, and when your best players are great people, that's when it's really fun.
Speaking of great guys, I mean, you got to get used to this. Coaches are used to this. You replace guys all the time. You move on. But Nico Carvacho, I know you guys had a great relationship, and I know the trash talks there with the Giants and Vikings and all that. How difficult is that to replace a guy that's not only great on the floor, but, I mean, he kind of took everybody under his wing last year. And he also, what I admired about him is he was kind of okay not always being the guy. All these young players just flourished around him. How difficult is it to replace a guy like that?
Well, it always is. You know, you I mean, and I don't think you do replace a guy like that. You know, you learn from what he did and what he helped, and you kind of move on, and the new team, you know, has to develop kind of their own identity that way. So I don't think that you replace it. It's part of, you know, college athletics, and guys move on, and so I don't know that that's the case. And I go back to that Vikings Giants thing. Both of us better shut up, because that is the biggest pillow fight in the history of football right there. So we have nothing to fight about there. I'll tell you that.
You
right
got,
now.
Yeah, it's going to be who ends up winning the who gets to two wins faster.
Goodness.
You know,
but no, he's and it's fun. You know, he's you know, continuing on with his career. And,
yeah.
But you know, you leave a legacy that way, and then it's our job to kind of, you know, continue to carry that forward. And you know, guys have to step up into their own leadership roles, and you know, new identity develops with different guys, and that's all part of it.
Coach, you're always thinking you're going to have a good season, right? A coach goes into the season thinking, all right, we got the group here, we're going to do this. But you made such a huge leap from year one to year two, 12 to 20 wins. I mean, did you realistically see that big of an improvement coming?
I don't know. I thought we would be better. I could sense that. I thought we had the right group of guys. I knew we had growing pains to go through. But, you know, what you didn't know early is that the chemistry would be as good as it was with the young guys and the older guys. And, you know, that part of it really, really gelled quickly. And I thought our willingness to buy in and to play for each other, I thought really helped us. I know it helped us kind of, you know, do what we were able to do last year. And so that's been huge. And I feel the same way about this team. I think the chemistry is really, really good that way. And, you know, here's the reality. It doesn't matter what the expectations are. They aren't. The one thing, you know, in every season you go into, there's going to be adversity. You're going to have adversity. Something's not going to go your way, whatever that is. And you really don't know what kind of team you have until you see what your response is to that. And when something doesn't go your way, because you know that's going to happen. And so that's going to be our test. I have a lot of confidence that we'll work through all those things in a positive way, and we'll get better from it. But that's the key, right? Everybody's going into the season feeling great about their chances, and then ultimately you're going to have a stretch of adversity, whatever that is, and it's your ability to work through those things and grow through that which really determines you know, the good teams from the great teams, and who really has a chance to compete at the top.
Yeah, and it should be a very good conference this year too. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, Coach, I'm very excited to see what you guys can do in this conference. It's going to be some great basketball, and we'll keep our eyes out for that non-conference schedule too.
Hopefully it's soon, and I know if, man, I'd love to be be done with that, but there's going to be a lot of changing in the schedule this year, even if it's makeup games or, you know, so on and so forth. But hopefully we'll have something, you know, solidified fairly soon, and we can get that out to our fans. And because, man, we're going to be tipping it off here before you know it.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, we wish you the best of luck. Love catching up with you on this program, and we'll try to get you back on soon.
Hey, thanks, Brady. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, that's Coach Nico Medved, Colorado State head men's basketball coach. And, yeah, no non-conference schedule just yet. Now, again, they probably have that idea for the most part of what they're going to do. And as Coach said, yeah, we're going to play the front range teams. They are going to play CU. They are going to play DU. They are going to play UNC, which is absolutely huge. But just trying to figure out the rest of that coming up. So I'm pumped. I don't know where they'll finish. You know, the Mountain West Conference was maybe a little top heavy last year. You know, the top two teams, and then the rest were okay. Obviously, CSU stormed onto the scene. But this year, I think it's going to be pretty spread out. I mean, like I said, I'm looking at FanSided, and they have CSU ranked at sixth. But that's not really a bad thing, because it's going to be so tight with some of those top teams, with the UNLVs and the Boise States and San Diego State, obviously one of the best teams in the country. It's going to be fun if we can get to it. That's the question. But great guy, great coach, as always. If you missed any portion of that, you joined us late, it'll be available for you at thewholeshow.com or 1310kfk.com, where all of our podcasts are available for you, so you don't have to worry if you can't listen every day, 12 to 2. 21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about Drew Locke. Yes, it's fun. He's Darth Vader. Okay. But does he have what it takes to ultimately go toe-to-toe with a guy like Patrick Mahomes? Maybe not right now, but will he become that guy? This is one of those tests, and it's a meaningful game, a meaningful Chiefs game for Drew Locke. A big test for him personally coming up this Sunday.
Thursday Night Football is on tonight. Don't miss opening kickoff while you drive home. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. No Co. Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Drew Locke might have grew up in Missouri as a Chiefs fan, but coming up on Sunday, he is ready to put all that fandom aside. He said, I like it, man. I mean, he's entertaining, Colfax. He connects with the youngsters, too, but basically saying, yeah, I have no problem going into and turning into Darth Vader, basically. He says it's cool. It's cool to be able to put the Darth Vader mask on and steer away from the Jedi and come to the dark side. So to say, over here in Denver, so Denver's the dark side. Well, if you look at the sky, you might feel that way. He said, I kind of like playing like that guy, like Darth Vader. I don't know. Hopefully I can be that guy and get a win this Sunday and start the rivalry a little bit. So is Drew Locke's the last person I'm going to say is Darth Vader, though, right? He's easily... who's the Jedi? Come on. The main character.
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. Yeah. He's Luke Skywalker, for sure.
Yeah.
And Buzz Lightyear.
Or maybe he could just be Anakin, so. When he's a kid. Darth Vader when he's a kid, right?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Although a lot of people really,
I think,
either know or you don't by this point. Yeah, if you don't know, then...
Been 20 years, guys.
But people were rough on that kid that was an actor in that, the actor in that movie? The kid?
Really?
Yeah, he's from Fort Collins.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't like it. He wasn't very good, but nobody was good in that movie. Liam Neeson was in that.
Neeson.
He was in that movie, and he was bad in it. And he's been in, you know, a lot of movies, so it's just bad directing. Yeah, Drew Locke, he's had a lot of these lately, Colfax. A lot of these little sayings. You know, last week he's like, yeah, you know, you're not mad at Melvin Gordon. He's just like your little brother. You take him out for ice cream after. It's like, well, Melvin Gordon's like, I don't know, 10 years older? No, I don't know if he's 10, probably 6, 7 years older than him.
Yeah.
This will be interesting, man. Can you find a way to do it? So Locke can become, get this, the second quarterback to defeat Bill Belichick and Andy Reid coach teams in back-to-back weeks prior to age 25. Who comes up with that stat? Who finds that stat? Ben Roethlisberger did it at 22 years old in 2004. He beat Belichick and Andy Reid back-to-back before turning 25. Who is that person? I want to meet that person that found that stat. I don't even know where you go to do that. You got to go through and look at everybody who's beat them back-to-back and then determine how old they were. But this is a huge game, I'll tell you. I don't really expect the Broncos to go in and win this game. But we're trying to find out if the Broncos have their quarterback. That's what this season was supposed to be all about. And we haven't really got to see it. He wasn't that good last week against New England. He was okay. But he certainly had some bad moments, too. Obviously, the picks were bad. But I don't really like the play calling. The play calling, I blame more than the pick. Like when he threw that deep, I'm just thinking, well, okay, it's going to get intercepted. Okay, it is. I'm not really disappointed in Drew Lock. They called a deep throw downfield. So I don't know that he was... I mean, again, it's his first game back. So he's kind of trying to shake the rust off a little bit. But I'm ready to get back into this, Colfax, to this evaluation mode. And we started again last week. And, you know, based on that game, no. You would say no. If every game we're asking the question, is he your franchise quarterback? You know, if we're going to base it off of that game, then no. But again, he's 22 years old? 23 years old, and he's only had a few starts, a few games, so you realistically we don't know that answer yet. Are we going to at the end of the season? We still might not know 100% because he could be okay. I think you get your expectations way too high if you came into this season like Colin Cowherd, who you'll hear right after the show, saying that Drew Lock's like a dark horse to be the MVP. I don't know where he got that information. But I mean, if those were your expectations coming into the season on Drew Lock, then you were going to be severely let down. My expectations are, I just want to see him in some big moments. You know, maybe those moments are Broncos are down four, and they got to do a game winning drive. Maybe we're down three, getting field goal range to kick a field goal to tie it, send it overtime, or to throw a game winning touchdown. To convert a drive like that. Like, those are some of the moments I want to see. Decision-making in really tough situations. And again, against the Chiefs last year, that was a blowout in the snow. That was the worst performance we've seen with Drew Lock. And it was a bad one. It was awful. But you see if he's ready to take that next step. I think the Broncos are excited for that challenge. They're going to have to get that run game going somehow. They're way too good of a running. Both those guys, Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, contracts aside, DUIs aside, strep throat aside, all that stuff aside, on paper, they are way too good to be the second worst rushing team in the NFL. But we all know how this has transpired. Lindsay was out. Gordon was out. Now we're going to see it. They've had two back-to-back 100-yard rushers. So you can sit there and say, well, they're not really that good at running. Well, the last two games that they've won, they have ran. Gordon ran for over 100, and then Lindsay ran for over 100. So put those two guys together. Let's see what you can get done. But that's what you're going to have to do. Run the ball so that you can open up something for Drew Lock. And maybe you get a Jerry Jeudy going in this game. We have yet to really see him take off. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. Colfax, Thursday night. That's where magic happens. And tonight, it's... Oh, my goodness. Okay, Philadelphia is 1-4-1. The Giants are 1-5. This has a lot of meaning to it, though, Colfax, because the winner of this game will... I mean, Dallas is 2-4, and they're at the top of the NFC East, 2-4. Philly's 1-4-1, second place. Giants are 1-5. The Washington football team is 1-5. So the winner of tonight's game makes it... You know, they get their second win, and it's a tie with the Cowboys at the top. So there is a lot of meaning to this game. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz, you know, he's had his ups and downs this year, but they seem like they're too good of a team to be this bad. The Giants, I expected to be a little bit better at this stage, but we'll find out. Two bad record teams going at it tonight should be just great football. 34 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
The side eye, the grimace, the disgusted head shake. Body language expert Marianne Corinch weighs in on the presidential debate Friday on Mornings with Gale. Join us.
We're back. Well, it's Thursday night. A new week has gone. I turn on my radio for some prophecy fun. I hear an American picker on KFKA. The biggest game each week is his specialty. I gotta get ready. Make the TNS the bomb. Because Thursday night special is gonna be special tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes,
ready?
I'm ready, ready.
Ready for some Thursday night special? A Thursday night party?
No Thursday night special last
this
week.
Is Rockin' Colfax.
Love Rockin' Colfax.
Ready to get the good time started.
Oh, and this is going to be a good time tonight, isn't it? The battle in the NFC East. Oh, it's intense. The bad teams galore. Nobody is over 500 in this division. In fact, the winner of tonight's game will tie with Dallas at the top of the kingdom. Giants 1-5. Eagles 1-4-1. Giants are 4.5-point dogs in this one. Both teams are just so depleted with injuries. Carson Wentz and Jason Kelce for Philadelphia. They're the only, from the preseason starting depth chart, they're the only ones that are healthy. But they're supposed to get some guys back. And right tackle Lane Johnson, I think, is a game time decision. And you look at DeSean Jackson expected to return, but they're without Miles Sanders, tight end Zach Ertz. Giants coming off their first win under Coach Joe Judge. They have not won in Philadelphia since 2013. They've lost 7 straight in the series. How do you pick this game? Both teams are bad. Both teams are struggling. Well, you know what? We talked a lot about Nico Carvacho earlier. This is his team, the Giants. So, in honor of Nico Carvacho, good friend of the station, I'm going to go... First off, I'm given a prop bet. I was asked to throw a prop bet out. This does not count toward my win or loss. This is for you to make money on. Daniel Jones throws 2 touchdowns tonight. That's it. I know it's nothing sexy. That's just it. 2 touchdowns for Jones. I like the Giants to win.
Hold on to your butt. Yeah. Getting bigger,
Yeah. Do you want to reconsider? Yeah. I'm going to show who is the real child.
Andre, Bubba, you think?
Yeah. Andre.
There's
a Giants. So many Giants.
And he takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure. Avoids the rush. And he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Tyree, who makes the catch.
That was a crazy moment.
At the 24-yard line. What a play by Manning.
He sends it to Andre.
Miss Eli sometimes, though. Still miss him.
We have a new world champion.
Andre the Giants.
No.
Capture some of that Super Bowl magic that we know and love from the New York Giants. Oh, that's great. Greatness is on the line tonight on this Thursday night special. Giants-Eagles trying to stay close in this division. It's such a bad division. But that's not... Colfax has nothing on Hank, is what Noob says. That's not... That, what do you mean, nothing on Hank? That was 100% Colfax making that song. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd take you over Hank.
I would, too.
I would take you over Hank. Your Thursday night specials, those tunes are legendary. You know, hooligans from across the world sing to those songs.
Yeah.
They're excellent. Yeah, Giants tonight. Hey, listen, I'm not sure what the score is going to be in this one, but you got to start seeing one of these teams. I mean, I think that the Eagles were too talented to be this bad, but like the Broncos, injuries have absolutely destroyed them. They're getting a few guys back tonight, but I kind of like the Giants coming off of that win, and you know, maybe they're feeling a little bit better. Now, they've been hurt. Obviously, they lose their stud. They lose Barkley for the year, so that's been tough for them. But, you know, Judge, maybe he's going to get something going there with this team. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Jones was 12 for 19 for 112 yards and a touchdown and an interception against Washington. I mean, he didn't throw it a lot. 19 times in this day and age? I mean, that's crazy. So we'll see if they open it up a little bit more for him. His wide receivers had 5 catches for 61 yards. So, yeah, I mean, listen, he's not been lighting it up at all. I see the Giants maybe opening up this playbook just a little bit. But I like the Giants not just to cover. I like them to win tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles. There you go. That's my Thursday night special. Daniel Jones, I don't know if he has a monster game, but I think he finds a way to throw a couple of touchdowns. 45 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to closing thoughts. More on the Nuggets and this Drew Holiday idea. Is that something that you'd like to see if it's going to cost you Gary Harris, another player, maybe even a draft pick? We'll talk about it next.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Westwood One presents NFL 101, a weekly officiating tutorial with former referee and current CBS sports rules analyst, Gene Steratore.
This week on NFL 101, let's look at the players who are defined as defenseless. A player in the act or just after throwing a pass, a receiver attempting to catch a pass, a runner whose forward progress has been stopped, a kicker punt returner attempting to field a kick, a player on the ground, a kicker or punter during the return of the kick, the quarterback anytime after a change of possession, a player who receives a blindside block, and the offensive player who is snapping for a field goal or try kick. These players are protected against contact such as forcibly being hit in the head or neck area with the helmet, face mask, forearm, or shoulder, lowering the head and making forcible contact with any part of the helmet against any part of the player's body, and illegally launching into a defenseless opponent. This is another edition of NFL 101 on Westwood One. I'm Gene Steratore.
Does this place look haunted?
No, I don't think so.
What about those two creepy girls?
Come stay with us.
That is truly frightening.
You know what's really scary? Missing out on Geico's great service. With Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Thank you, creepy girls.
Want to see our room?
We're gonna sleep in the car now.
Happy Geico-ing. Switch today for 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The NFL is back, and the NFL app has you covered.
Woo! Let's go!
So get ready for football all season long and just tap into the NFL app.
Yeah! Time to go to work.
For free live local games.
End zone, caught!
For free live primetime games.
Unbelievable!
For free news and highlights.
Takes off! He's in!
The official app of the NFL has you covered. Download to your mobile device by visiting nfl.com/mobile or your app store. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Shout out to CSU head coach Nico Medved for joining the show. We talked to Kelly Lyle from the Coloradoan. And yeah, for a moment, I guess the football team was trying to see if they could get another game, but just seemed a little unrealistic at this point in the week. First Advantage text line, 31996. Dixon texting in about the Drew Holiday idea. He said, Holiday's a great defender, making the all-defensive team a couple of times and brings a little more offense to the table, so he would be an upgrade over Harris. Easy call. Easy call, yes, if you're picking between the two. First off, it's not going to be a straight trade. You know, you wouldn't trade the Pelicans would be foolish to just accept Gary Harris in a trade out. You also got to be careful here because Drew he's got a player option at the end of this upcoming season. So I think you need to be sure he's going to stay with you. You are not a team at the end or, you know, where the window is smaller for your championship aspirations, if you're the Nuggets. You are looking to continue to build on it because the window is wide open right now. You do need another piece. But you're not looking at next season like championship or bust. You're kind of looking at over the next five seasons, we need to be able to win a championship, hopefully two. If you're the Nuggets. I mean, that's really what you're, hopefully that's what you're thinking at this stage. So, do you ship off a guy like Gary Harris and, I don't know, Will Barton and a draft pick? I mean, what would the Pelicans do? Now, the Pelicans will perhaps be interested in trading him because maybe they know something we don't. Maybe they know Holiday, who's been very loyal to them, might be looking for a team that's, you know, championship ready. And so, therefore, he'd play one more season and then go. Rather than just let him walk for nothing, they'd be smart to do the Carmelo Anthony thing and trade him. But you still, he's a very good player. 19 points per game last year, 7 assists per game, and he's a great defensive player, a great defensive guard. So it's not going to be as easy as just, here's Gary Harris, we have Drew Holiday. You also need to make sure he's going to be there for the long haul. Can you know? Would he kind of agree in principle to sign a long-term deal with you? And is that something the Nuggets would want? Yes, because you don't want to get rid of Harris for 1 year to bring in Drew Holiday, and then Holiday's gone. Well, now you're out Harris and Holiday. It's going to take more than that. You know, they're going to want a guard, but they're going to want something else. They might even want a young player. I mean, P.J. Dozier, Bol Bol. I mean, I know Bol Bol's already a fan favorite. But it's going to take some youth, guys that maybe they think they can grow with as they're kind of rebuilding. So that to me is what's going to be interesting with this whole thing is, are the Nuggets, whoever ends up getting Drew Holiday, are you going to be convinced that he's going to be with you for a few years? Or is it something where, you know, he's going to be done with that after that last year, do what Andre Iguodala did? So I think that portion is very interesting to me. The Pelicans were, what, 30-42? So without him, yeah, they're definitely going to be kind of in that rebuild mode. But what do you give for him? You know, when you look at the Nuggets on that roster, obviously they got a lot of guys. You know, people keep saying, drives me nuts when people say this because you're not looking. Oh, I'll trade, package Gary Harrison, package Paul Millsap. Well, Paul Millsap's a free agent. Mason Plumlee's a free agent. Those guys are not, you know, currently with the Nuggets right now. So you're gonna have to get kind of aggressive. Yes, that includes Harris. He's your best bargaining chip right now, I would say. Will Barton, perhaps, but if the Pelicans are looking to scrap it and, you know, dump some salary, Harris is still pretty high up there. So you got to be careful. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thursday Night Football tonight. Thursday Night Special calls for the G-Men, the New York Giants, to win tonight. Not just cover the 4.5-point spread, but to win. That's going to do it for us. You can hear Thursday Night Football right here on 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.